Okay, so the title of my talk, as you see, is Development of Gyrokinetic Codes Using Semi-Lagrangian Methods. And here I have a list of people who have contributed, a partial list of people who have contributed to this project. And I like to mention in particular the names of those who are actually developing the codes, and namely Virginie Grandgirard, Yannick Sarrazin, and Wolfgang Zwingli. Actually, most of my talk, say two-thirds, will be rather dedicated to describing the reason why we are doing this and what are essentially physical problems. And in particular, there are two classes of problems we are interested in. One is anomalous problem of anomalous transport and plasma turbulence, which was described in particular by the previous speaker, and also generally what they call the MHD, which means problems which involve big magnetic perturbations, in particular the perturbation which give rise to record. Sorry? Okay, shall I increase?
Speak louder.
Yeah, speak louder. Notwithstanding this, okay. Okay, then I will just go through a couple of slides which describe constant gyrokinetics for the people who are not familiar with it, and then I will finally describe briefly what we are doing with these gyrokinetic codes. Now, I'd like to recall what a tokamak is. It's essentially a magnetic confinement machine where a magnetic field is obtained by winding around the torus magnetic field lines through a combination of a toroidal magnetic field along in this direction here and the poloidal in this direction. And one of the important parameters in this machine is effectively something which is related to a winding number, which we call a safety factor. It's given, described by here, essentially a number of times one has to go toroidal to get a toroidal to go completely in one so number of times when I have to go toroidal to get a complete turn in a poloidal direction. Particles in this machine, of course, follow field lines. So as you see here, they wind around the field lines with a characteristic radius, which is called the Larmor radius, is given by this expression. And of course, they have to the zeroth order free streaming. As we know, to the next order, particles are subject to drifts, and particularly for a given force, they are subject to here, maybe a pointer. And in particular, if I consider electric field, I will get electric drift, or if I consider centrifugal force, I get a centrifugal drift, which in these machines is essentially vertical. And there are also other effects, other drifts linked to inhomogeneity, in particular the magnetic drift. Now, with these drifts, of course, you get frequencies which are important for what I'm talking later, in particular this drift frequency described here. Now, turbulent transport. Tokamaks are machines where collisions are relatively small. If one estimates collision of transport in this machine, one gets numbers which are less than what observed in experiments. For example, the upper bound could be 10 to the minus 1 meters squared per second, and the actual observation are more about 1 meter squared for ion thermal conductivity. And this means that there is something going on, and the consensus that this is essentially turbulence. And which is quite natural because this machine needs to be, you have to heat plasma to some temperature, so you develop gradients. With gradients, you have convection, which eventually leads to turbulence, and so the situation is qualitatively similar to convection of ordinary fluids where you heat fluids at different temperatures, and these fluids are subject to gravity, so you have some convective rolls. In actual tokamaks, the situation is more like what is described here. For example, in this picture obtained by numerical simulations, where again you have a gradient. For example, here I have the pressure, so I have a hot plasma in the center with some pressure, cooler plasma in the edge, so you have the gradient, and the convection is set by this gradient, and in this case by the curvature rather than the gravity. The peculiar fact with this machine is the fact that these vortices are much smaller than what you'd have in ordinary fluid, which would imply a vortex of the size of the radial size of the machine. And we call this micro turbulence. And the reason why we have these small scales is linked to the Landau damping, the phenomenon described already previously. And just to give you an idea, correlation length, so frequencies are in this machine are around 100 kilohertz, and correlation lengths are few Larmor radii, which, as I said, means in practice much less than machine size. And the other important thing which has to be noticed is that the typical frequencies are much lower than ion gyro frequency, which is exploitable as an expansion parameter. Now, the limitation in the radial scale essentially due to the Landau damping, the fact that in order not to have damping for a given, say, wave which has a characteristic frequency comparable to the turbulent frequency, you need to have relatively small parallel wave numbers, which means that the phase velocity of the wave exceeds the phase of particles, particular ions. And if you work out the details of this estimate, you get effectively a sort of radial scale. For a simple situation, let's say a cylindrical plasma, you get a radial extension of the structure which cannot exceed a few Larmor radii. Of course, in reality, the situation may be more complicated, but this still stands. Now, as the previous speaker has nicely described, of course, fluid treatments are good. They can also have problems. And I'm personally working often with fluid, more with fluid than actual kinetic, but ideally we would like to use a kinetic treatment. And the reason is, besides the Landau problem of Landau damping, is of course also the fact that we want to sometimes to describe smaller scales below Larmor radius, which is treatable to some extent with the fluids, but it's some difficulty. There is a possibility on plasma evolving to non-Maxwellian distribution functions. Also, this will be more evident for MHD. But also, there is, let's say, in the community generally, a demand of being predictive capability. And as Greg Hammett has shown in his last part of his talk, for example, this phenomenon of decay of zonal flows is important to be described with some precision if one wants to achieve predictive capability. So there is generally a tendency to try to go to kinetic treatments. The other general class of phenomena we are interested in is essentially MHD, so phenomena where you have magnetic perturbation of some scale, and in particular magnetic reconnection. Now, Ohm's law in our machines is more easily thought in terms of the dynamics of electrons along the field lines. So I have an equation for the parallel electron momentum given here. And as you know, ideal MHD implies that, first of all, resistive MHD would imply the balance between essentially these two terms. And in particular, ideal MHD would be a case where there is no resistivity, so the electric field along the field lines has to be treated as if it were zero. And the special case is described here, where I consider essentially a two-dimensional field and with a constant magnetic field in a given direction times plus another field which can evolve is non-constant in a perpendicular direction. And this equation for E parallel equal to zero essentially is equivalent to an equation of conservation of this magnetic flux function of psi here. And in this picture on the left, you can see what would happen if I solve this equation for a given flow. And here I have an example of the flow set up. I have some vortices which are set this way. So there is E flow in this direction. And this field initially, suppose it's just given by sort of field, vertical field lines, so essentially a magnetic field which depends only on radial direction, only this x direction. But by solving this equation with this type of flow setup, the field lines can be bent, but not, let's say, reconnected. And for example, in particular in this point here, which is stagnation point, you see that if I draw the profile of this magnetic flux function, you see that the inflow will just push these points to the inner region, but without moving this one. So this builds up a steep, arbitrarily steep gradient, but doesn't, let's say, break up the structure. Of course, if we move to non-ideal situations, near the points where generally K parallel is small, one has to treat the electric field as not a constant, so one has to use in general the complete form of Ohm's law, some form of Ohm's law which includes not only E parallel equals zero but other terms. And then the conservation of psi is not valid anymore, and what happens is that this, let's say, what we call loosely speaking field line reconnection and the formation of a magnetic island, which you see here in two halves, effectively. And this is what we call the X point. It's a saddle point for the flux function. Here is an example of what you'd have in an actual situation, obtained in an actual numerical simulation. We have inflow. Here, this is profile of velocity across X, and you see the formation of the of psi, which is not it is just only the perturbation. You see, it's not kept initial value zero, but just changing, and the time goes on. Now, this particular phenomenon in this machine occurs more in several situations, but the most evident one is what we call soot heat. So soot heat are fluctuations, oscillations of say density and temperature in the center of the machine, which were first observed in the early 70s with the first tokamaks. In particular, what I'm showing here is the original paper by von Goller et al., which is the first published work on this phenomenon on the ST tokamak in Princeton. And you see here the whole discharge, and you see these traces here of soft X rays, which give a major soft X rays emission. It's essentially a function of density and temperature. So you see this temperature, for example, growing up and then suddenly collapsing. So already von Goller et al. Observed this to be related to an helical perturbation of this plasma column of mode number m equal 1 and n equal 1, toroidal and poloidal. And this at the time was already known to be a reconnecting mode, and combined with a relaxation of symmetric relaxation, so m equals 0 and equals 0. And so soon after this work, Kadomser came up with this well-known, picture, which is described in this here on the left. Initially, the machine starts out with a symmetric way, but because of an instability, the inner core moves outside, and at the same time, there is an appearance of magnetic island here, so which has its own secondary, say, the O point, so the maximum, local maximum of the magnetic flux function, which is a secondary magnetic axis, and eventually this moves out, and the new magnetic axis replaces the old one, and the cycle repeats itself. Now, Kadomsen pointed out that this has to occur according to resistive MHD on a time scale, which is given by expression here. So, typically, it's proportional to the inverse of the square root of the resistivity. And this, for the astrophysicist, is also called the sweet Parker time scale, because it was proposed for magnetic reconnection in some astrophysical problems, sweet and Parker. Now, later, larger machines observed the soot heat phenomena occurring at rates higher than collision friction, in particular jets starting from late 80s, and here is an example of what was seen. This again is the signal from a soft X-ray emission, and which identifies roughly the core, the position of the hottest point of the plasma, so essentially what would be the magnetic axis. And you see this is displacing outside on in the vertical axis is displacement exponentially, so it's an exponential instability at a rate which exceeds the collision frequency. And so this means that this cannot be described by a resistive MHD, and one has to go back to more general Ohm's law. And the obvious thing is to add the electron inertia, which incidentally was already known from the 60s, because people are interested for astrophysical reasons to this plasma in particular. I think one of the first was Coppi around 64 to propose this kind of reconnection mechanism. So besides the resistive Ohm's law here, one has to add at least the electron inertia term, which is proportional to essentially electron mass. And as shown by Porcelli and Wesson, this reconnection proceeds at a rate which is at least as fast as given here, which essentially depends on this quantity here, which is the electron scheme depth, which is proportional square root of electron mass. And later, we did some numerical simulations showing that this phenomenon effectively occurs well into the nonlinear phase. And you see here, for example, the formation of a thin current layer, current sheets around what was before the X point. And you see an example, the profile of current here. And what's important here is that these are essentially values of various quantities at some positions of this domain, and beyond the linear phase, you see even in a linear phase the thing is going as fast as given by, at least on the time scale given initially by Porcelli and Wesson. More work was done in the latest year, and I refer to the presentation of our chairman Pegoraro later during this workshop. Now, even here, there is an obvious need of kinetic treatment eventually. One reason is the one that you have seen the development of very small scales. So fluid closure often rely on a expansion where the fields have intrinsic scales which are larger than them, some minimum scale, which often is a Larmor radius in this machine. And here you see this is going down rather fast. In the region where the displacement for the range of say for a regime where displacement exceeds for example the scheme depth, which is essentially when the system becomes nonlinear. And so of course the question is whether fluid closure as the one given by any fluid model is adequate in this situation. The other thing is the generation of fast particles, which is generally expected and to some extent also observed in experiments during this phenomenon. And this comes about because of the conservation of canonical momentum. And if you think of canonical momentum in a system as given by this for electrons, then you can estimate that if this is constant, this radial displacement brings about a change in velocity, and you can see from this estimate that it's enough that this radial displacement is equivalent to what is written here. It's called the poloidal electron Larmor rays. Essentially, it's the width proportional to the width of the banana orbits shown before by Greg Hammett. So it's something which is intrinsically small in the machine. And it's enough to have a displacement like this to have a change in velocity proportional to the thermal velocity. So it's quite natural to expect that during, when as particles are affected by these vortices, they may be subject to acceleration and so possibly develop a no-Maxwellian distribution function. Okay, so this is essentially ends the general physics problems. Now I'd like to In what is left, just to give you a couple of reminder about gyrokinetics for those who are not familiar. So all these problems, physical problems, occur on time scales which are essentially longer to respect to the cyclotron period, so that we can use the low frequency expansion, and the way to do it more convenient is to use the fact that this implies the existence of an adiabatic invariant, which is essentially the magnetic moment. And this property is exploited to reduce the initial six-dimensional phase space into phase space of four dimensions plus one parameter, where the parameter is the perpendicular, essentially the perpendicular velocity, actually the momentum. And further reduction can be obtained if one has even lower frequency dynamics, which will allow to use a second derivative invariant and go down to 2D plus 2P space. And eventually, if I had a quasi-static field, I could also, as before, do use a complete integrable system, which gives us to drift trajectories, which are two-dimensional in tori for axisymmetric configurations. An example is given here. Just take a constant magnetic field and consider particle Hamiltonian. Eventually, you replace this by gyrocenter Hamiltonian, which is essentially given by quantity which is constant plus these terms here. And the original Vlasov equation is essentially replaced by gyrokinetic equation for the guiding center, with the guiding center Hamiltonian for the guiding center distribution function. And the only point I have to remind here is that also these quantities are averaged over a cyclotron period, essentially. So there is this gyro averaging operation which comes about. This is sort of simplest case. Now, to tackle some of these problems, we are currently developing codes. One is the 4D plus 1P gyrokinetic code, essentially in straight magnetic field geometry for the time being. And the other one is one of these codes which exploit the existence of second derivative invariant. So we are considering only the trapped ion dynamics, the dynamics of trapped particles as shown by Hammett before. And now these dynamics may occur on low frequency scale, less than bounce frequency, the period of these trapped particles. So there is a second derivative invariant, and this allows to use an Hamiltonian which is appropriate for bounce average motion.
What do you mean by 4D plus 1P?
4D, it means one parameter, four dimension and one parameter, and the gyro phase is not exist anymore. So
what is the one parameter?
Well, it would be the canonical momentum in that case, V per square over 2B, which in that case is just a velocity because it's constant magnetic field. Okay. So that, now this is the code, okay, the model is in the code. So this is the equation I've given before and written in explicitly in the terms of the variables. And this is the quasi-neutrality condition which allows closing the system. I'm not going to develop more on this because I don't have the time. But what we are doing essentially for the time being is setting up a profile which is unstable in a given region. And this is actually gradient. And this allows the system to become unstable. The other model is essentially a model for trapped ions. And the equation is just given by advection, say kinetic equation with the advection E cross B field plus a drift, which is depends also on the energy, and this is equivalent to quasi-neutrality condition. In this case, the actual trapped particle orbits are described here, so they have this bounce motion, but also a precession motion. So once we average along the parallel direction, we can get rid of the bounce motion. What is left is for non-perturbed system is some motion, precession motion in the toroidal direction, and that's which is picked up by the perpendicular coordinate, which is the only surviving coordinate in this on the magnetic surface in this case. Now, the system technically is solved by using semi-Lagrangian approach, which essentially means that one solves exactly the Vlasov equation along the characteristic. Of course, the characteristics are not known, so one has to integrate along the characteristics, and one, of course, then has to interpolate, because, for example, knowing the distribution function at a given grid point, of course, the foot of the characteristic will not follow necessarily, and generally not, doesn't follow on grid point, so there is also the interpolation technique, and so the thing is of course iterated. And 5 minutes, I guess, or maybe, okay. Okay, then I skip this just to show you what's going on in one of these simulations. This is made straight, but it would be actually a cylindrical simulation. So we start out from a linear situation. So the system grows up exponentially, and then it tends to saturate non-linearly. But as you see, this will be the more linear phase. As you see, the system eventually becomes very rough, because this system tend, as all these systems not having collision, tend to develop fine scale. Okay, this is an example of what you would see in another plane, which is the ZV parallel plane. You see the formation essentially of these waves, longitudinal waves, and possible beginning of particle trapping in some of the wave waves. Now this system is treated with essentially accurate integrators, and what we find effectively that the edge conservation is very good, and this is an example of what you can see with a modest resolution, I would say. So here what we have is essentially the potential energy and the difference in kinetic energy from the initial state, and the sum of the two should be conserved. The conservation is actually below, at least as good as 1% up to the nonlinear phase when you start seeing these small scales developing, and then it settles around 2.5%. So this would be an example of the 2D trap diode mode code. Maybe I should go to the collision history connection problem here. We are going to treat that problem I've shown before with effectively a drift kinetic Hamiltonian. So it's again, it's like a gyrokinetic equation, where now we have a magnetic field which evolves in time, and this equation is closed by the MHD for ions. So this will be for the electrons. This will be for ions, and of course a condition which allows to reconstruct the current. And this system depends on three dimensional parameters. One is skin depth, one is electron gyro radius, and the other one is poloidal electron armor radius. And the two of the same order, which allows to simplify the study. And this code is working now. The results are still in the beginning. There are still a few problems. I'm not going to show you the results right now. But the initial condition is simply just a traveling Maxwellian. And what we are going to try, first of all, is to reproduce the result I've shown you before from the fluid simulation and see what are the differences. And on a project like this, Pegoraro also, I think we'll talk more later this week. So just to remind you the main points. So we have seen that there are several problems in magnetic confinement which require use of gyrokinetic equations, because most of these problems occur at low frequencies, so below the ion gyro radius. And we have essentially chosen to employ these semi-Lagrangian codes because we find they are effective tools because of their conservation properties and fairly low noise and progress in code development. In particular, there are issues which will be have to be addressed. One is beginning to be addressed with a two-dimensional code, is the issue of boundary, how to couple the system with the outer world to get steady state results, and the other one is the issue of small scales. So gyro averaging helps to reduce the problem of small scales, but eventually probably this will be needed to be tackled with this dissipative modeling. And finally, I've shown you what we are about to do with with the magnetic reconnection. So thanks for your attention.